Well, good morning again. We are kicking off a new series called Core, Defining the Center. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the things that are central to how we do ministry here at The Well, specifically who God is calling us to be here. And when The Well first started, there was a lot of thought that went into planning what kind of service we wanted and the presence we wanted in the community. And I'm still learning a ton about planning new ministries. But I can remember when I first started working at the church 10 or 11 years ago, a man named Jim Genesee was our senior pastor, and Ben was our associate pastor. And we would have staff meetings, and they would ask questions. Like whenever I was struggling with something or trying to come up with a new ministry plan, they would say, "What is the purpose?" And that really drove a lot of the decisions that I would make, and I started thinking and asking that myself. What is the purpose, or what is your goal? What is your intention? Because when you know your intention or your plan in the beginning, it helps a lot with the direction that you take. And so when planning The Well, three ideas kind of emerged that became the center of how we plan ministry. And if you've been around for any length of time, you've probably heard them or you might see them. You're definitely going to hear them in this sermon series. They are compelling worship, authentic community, and sacrificial service. We've intentionally placed a high value on these three concepts or these three environments because we believe that they're conducive to living a life of faith and growing in Jesus. So we're going to talk a lot about those things. And they don't sound like radical ideas when it comes to church service. We're a church service, so we're going to worship. We're open to the community, and we come together, so that's kind of a given. And we're trying to follow Jesus, and we know that Jesus served people, so service seems like a natural part of that. But we don't want to just be people that come to church and occasionally do things for other people. We're called to live a life that looks like Jesus. And in the last year or so, we've been working across the board because The Well is part of First United Methodist Church. So we've been doing like a whole church idea of how we can help people grow further in their faith with Jesus. And it's kind of like a discipleship roadmap is what we're calling it. And it's basically laying out like how we can help people learn to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, and serve like Jesus. Because that's ultimately the road we're headed down when we choose to follow Jesus. If you haven't figured out how to make your life look like Jesus's yet, you are not alone, because I haven't figured it out either. I'm still on the path and walking towards that. And I would guess a lot of us in this room are at different places in our walk with Jesus. There could be some people in the room right now that are still a little skeptical about that idea of turning ourselves over to the lifestyle that would come with Jesus. Maybe some of you have decided, like, Jesus is your Savior, but to commit to him is just a little further than you are ready to go, and that's okay. That's why we're all here. We're all different. Some of you could be like me. I am 100% sold out to knowing that Jesus is my lifeline. Like, he is absolutely all I need. I believe the scriptures that say God will provide for my every need. The problem is I don't always live like it. I believe it, but I don't always live like it. Because if I don't make that the core of who I am and central to what I do, it's so easy to get distracted and miss the mark. So we have these core values here at The Well, the three that I said, the compelling worship, authentic community, sacrificial service. And we do place a high value on these. When we talk about worship, we're not just talking about the worship that we do here together, but also the worship that we do all week long. Because we were made to worship. It's what we do. You are constantly worshiping something all the time. That is what we were created for. And there's a guy named Louis Giglio that he has a lot to say about worship. He's written several books. And in one of his books, he defines worship as our response to what we value the most. And I think, did we have that? Okay, yes, perfect. We have this quote. It's so much better if you read it than just hear me say it. So in one of his books, he says, "So how do you know where and what you worship? It's easy. You simply follow the trail of your time, your affection, your energy, your money, and your loyalty. At the end of that trail, you'll find a throne. And whatever or whomever is on that throne is of what's highest value to you. On that throne is what you worship." Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's incredibly hard to read because I would love for my automatic, honest answer to be like, yes, Jesus, done. Like, that's what I feel like my answer should be, and I wish that it was. But if I sat down and followed the trail of my time, my bank account, my free time, my planner, my daydreaming, like, I'm not sure I really want to tell you what's at the end of that trail. God is such a huge God, too. Like, he's enormous, and he loves us so much. He keeps his promises. He's steadfast, and he deserves far more than I often give him. And God's not boring at all. Like, I don't know how much of the Bible you've read, but it is hands down one of the most interesting books you will ever read. And you can read it five times, and you will read something different every time. God's not boring, and so when we worship him, we don't want to be boring either. We were made in God's image, so we want to reflect that back to him. So compelling worship is super important to us. And I know that we're all different and we hear from God differently. What speaks to you might not be exactly how it speaks to me. And we've done some interesting things here at the Well. Like, you might walk in one day and we're playing some crazy game and you think that we have lost our minds. Or maybe the decoration that time doesn't really do anything for you, or maybe our service is formal or not formal enough. We all speak to God or hear from God differently, but another thing that Louis Giglio said about worship is that it's not the elements of the worship that are awesome. It's the object who we worship that is awesome. I might have gotten that wrong. Let's read that again. It's not the elements of our worship that are awesome. It's the object of our worship who is awesome. So no matter what we do here on a Sunday morning, our goal is the same. Like, we want people to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we want to create things that will inspire you to carry that through your week. Because we worship 100% of the time. We read in Hebrews 13:15. It says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Continual, not just Sunday mornings, not just at church, but everything we do. Because worship is actually more about what we do than what we say, and we're doing every day of the week. So we want to engage in compelling worship. Another core value for us here is authentic community. Just as we were made to worship, we were made to do life with other people. We weren't meant to do it alone. And I know for some people that's hard. If you're anything like me, sometimes at the end of the day, you just really want a pair of pajama pants and a TV or a book or something that doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. Like, I get that. Some of us aren't very good at small talk, like the things that it takes to make a relationship work or to just get to know somebody. That could be a little awkward. And also, some of us don't want people to know our business. Like, I'm also this way. Maybe put up a few walls because you're afraid if somebody knows your stuff, like, they can't unknow your stuff. They can't unknow things about you. And so we tend to put up walls around ourselves. But if we're not in relationship with other people, we're not doing what God created us to do. We were made to help each other and to support each other. And we believe it's important to build relationships, but like real ones, the genuine ones, the authentic ones, where you get to know the stuff about each other that other people don't necessarily get to know. We don't want to be fake. That's a common complaint about the church in general, is that the people that sit in the seats are fake. We put on our nice clothes, we come to church, we rearrange our face to say everything's fine, everything's great, we have it all together. And we know that's not true, but we want other people to think that that's true. We don't want people to know our fears and our worries. And in this day of social media, that's really difficult because we tend to put our best image of ourselves out there for other people to see. And then when we see somebody else's best image and we don't compare to that, that could be really hard for some of us. I know I'm really guilty of that too. I'm on the only social media I really do is Facebook, and I'm pretty sure I've spent some time with younger kids. Like, Facebook is not the cool thing anymore, and I'm okay with that because there's not much about me that's cool. So I'm good with Facebook, and I enjoy it though. I enjoy seeing pictures of people, but I can be guilty of that too. If we see something, you know, like, oh, somebody's over there and I didn't get invited, that could hurt your feelings. Or like, why does that family have cute Easter pictures and I was sweating at 8:30 and we couldn't get it together? Like, it's hard to try not to compare to somebody else. And a few weeks ago, I got to spend some time with some youth where we talked about social media. Dale, you were with me. I got to sit in with youth, and that was really fun. And we talked about social media, and we talked about things like how you could be having a great day, and then you get on something and see a post, and it just ruins you. It doesn't have anything to do with you, and it can ruin your day. We also talked about, which I didn't know about, second Instagram accounts. I'm not on Instagram, really, but apparently you can have one Instagram account that everybody sees stuff, and then you have a second one that only some people see stuff. So right there, you're having to separate what people get to know about you, your real people, and you're not. We even talked about texting, like how now you have to put the emoji faces in your texting so that somebody knows if you're mad or you're happy or you weren't, you know, trying to hurt their feelings. Like, we've gone back to basically hieroglyphics for our conversations. Like, in social media days, we can have access to people 24 hours a day, but we are further away from actually making real relationships that connect. And for us, for everyone, we are broken people, and we need relationships with people that can help us through that. Every one of us is broken. We need someone that we can walk through life with and can support us and help us stay on the right path. We can help them stay on the right path. We need to be that for other people. And it's actually something Jesus wants us to do. Paul writes this in a letter to churches in Galatia, Galatians 6:1-3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important." And I don't really know the level of, like, sassiness that Paul had when he said that one, you know, about you are not that important. But that's a reality check for us. We're not. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be sharing each other's burdens and walking through life together, engaging in authentic community. Our third core value that is central to living a life of faith is sacrificial service. If we want to live a life that's modeled after Jesus, it's going to involve doing things for other people. Some of them are really easy, and I won't make anybody in here admit this by raising your hand, but I'll confess something about myself. There have been times that I have secretly prided myself on my volunteering. You know, like, I showed up to this place, or I donated this, or gave that, and then I went home and patted myself on the back for what a good job I did that day. And it doesn't mean that you can't have moments of eternal change, you know, just from one moment or one opportunity, because people's lives can be changed in an instant. One encounter can change someone's life. But for me, the part that was missing was the sacrifice. If it didn't, you know, cost a whole lot of my time or my energy or my wallet, you know, it wasn't the sacrificial service that I should be working towards. Because one thing I have learned about Jesus-style service is it's going to involve some kind of sacrifice. Maybe giving something up. Maybe it's inconvenient, or it's ugly, or it's hard. And if we're really being honest, sometimes we just don't want to do it. And I think those are the times that we feel that sacrificial part the most. Like, maybe we're saving money to go on vacation this summer, but some really cool youth want to go on a mission trip. Wink, wink. Maybe it's just been a really hard week, and all you want to do is hide in your house for the weekend. But, like, there'll be people that won't get to eat on Saturday if somebody doesn't show up for them. Maybe you've made plans with friends that you haven't seen in months, and you're late for dinner, and you get a phone call. Somebody's car broke down, and they need some help. Like, there are times that we get interrupted, and if we're not careful, we can even be bitter by that interruption. Jesus was sometimes interrupted, too. And I've heard Matthew 14:13-21 dozens of times, but this week I read it with a fresh set of eyes. So I want to read this story that will be familiar for most of you. "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. The news that Jesus had received right before this miracle was that his cousin John the Baptist had just died. And Jesus loved his cousin. John the Baptist had been killed at the whim of Herod's stepdaughter. And so when that news came to Jesus, he went somewhere to be alone because he wanted to grieve. He was sad. And if you've ever lost someone you love, that's going to feel really familiar to you. You know that you need that space alone, where you need to go and just be quiet and do like that ugly cry where you can't breathe and you're sobbing so hard that no sound comes out. And you need that space and that time. And that's what Jesus needed. As soon as Jesus heard the crowds, he left to be alone. But just like any celebrity in today's, day, there was a crowd of people that followed him and they knew where he was and they found him. But rather than Jesus saying like, "Hey, now," he totally would have been justified to say, "This is not a good time. I've got something going on. I need this space." But he didn't. He saw compassion on them and he healed their sick. And then he fed every single one of them. Jesus does eventually send them home, but not before he tended to their needs, because Jesus was really good at sacrificial service. And if we want to be good at it too, it's going to take some work on our part. We entitled today's introduction to the series, Engaging the Core. And when I heard that, I was like, "Oh, that definitely sounds like working out, But the principles are the same. Maybe I'm not the only one in this room that needs to do a little working out. I have intended for multiple years to lose some weight, get back into my old clothes, but pretty much the only engaging of my core that has happened was like stretching it to fit more food in. Like, that's pretty much all I got going on. But that's because I head to the direction of the fridge and the snacks, not the direction of the gym. Like, I know what I'm doing. Andy Stanley has a book called The Principle of the Path, and he says that our direction, not our intention, determines our destination. I'm going to say it again. Our direction, not our intention, determines our destination. If we want to walk in the direction of Jesus, we can't just intend to do it. We have to engage in these conducive environments that help us move that way. So over the next 3 weeks, Ben is going to take us deeper into these 3 core values that we believe are central to who we are here at The Well. And so I'm going to ask y'all today to make a covenant with us. If this is your first time here or you haven't been here very often, I'm going to ask you to come back. Give us 3 more Sundays while we walk through this series, because we believe these things are so important to living a life of faith. If you regularly worship here, I'm going to ask you to come back for the next 3 Sundays and hear everything with a fresh set of ears. While we go out this week, look for ways to engage our core. Engage these 3 values. Be open to new experiences. And I would challenge you to look for ways to worship, serve, and be in community with other people. How can we worship God this week? What are the ways that we're showing him to other people? Who are we being Jesus to, or who needs us to do that this week? Think about who's in your circle. Like, who are you doing life with? Do you have someone that you can share all of your secrets with and that can see that other side of you and will still help to build you up? And I'd actually challenge you to try out a new experience. Like, try out one of our community groups. Hannah Halsey. Hey, Hannah, raise your hand. That's Hannah Halsey. She's kind of leading up our community groups. So if you want to be hooked up in a community group, we'll get you set up with Hannah and she'll find a space for you. Check out our Sunday school classes. They meet every Sunday prior to The Well. We have classes full of people doing life together. And if one of those opportunities doesn't work for you, you could consider hosting a community group at a time that does. Also, in these next few weeks, look for ways to serve someone else, like support someone in a dream of theirs. Like we said, we've got people in this room that have big plans this summer. Find out about the missions of our church. I would love to have a conversation with you after the service about what we have going on at our church and all the ways that you can get involved with. There's ways that you can get involved right here at the Well. We have people that set up before our service, and after today, we got to take it all down and put it away. We do that every week, and there's plenty of places for you to help. There are people that greet. There are people that put out the food. And Marcia told Marcia, she kind of swiped my shout out. I'm still going to put a little plug in for Well Junior anyway. Every week we have kids that go down the hall, and we're not just trying to babysit the kids, although bless them, some days it feels like that's all we're doing, but you just shout Jesus and say, okay, we're done. But we really want to grow disciples. Like, that is the future of our church down the hall. Like, and we're in Sarah Jane. We're going to pick on Sarah Jane again. Like, when I started working with children's ministry, Sarah Jane was in children's ministry. And I have had the blessing to watch her grow through our MIB program, through our youth program. And now she's in college, and she's going on a mission trip. And I get to be a part of that, to support her and watch what we do. If you want to be involved in something important, work with kids. That's what's important. Also, because I have the microphone, I get to say that, because I'd really love for you to work with kids. And we're going to have a great opportunity this summer with our Vacation Bible School, where we need a ton of you to come and work with our kids. But that's what we're doing. We're investing in ourselves and in our future. And if we're not doing something here that you want to do, then have that conversation with us and let us know. I would love to know what you want to do, what God is calling you to do and placing on your heart, because some of our most vital ministries are things that somebody felt God placed on their heart and they answered the call. And we want to help you do that. So this week, look for ways to be open with God for how he wants to speak to you. And I'm actually going to go ahead and invite, we are getting out of here at 12 o'clock. I'm going to invite our band to come up to do our closing song. And it's a song, Awakening. They did it a couple of weeks ago. And this is my prayer for us as we move through these next couple of weeks, that God awakens our hearts and allows us to be open to something new so that we can be transformed through his love and his grace. Before they play that, though, if y'all would pray with me. God, we are so grateful for you. You are such a huge God, and you love us so much, more than we can comprehend. You love us all equally, and you want to be in relationship with every single one of us. God, as we move through these weeks, help us to be open to the ways that you want us to hear from you. Help us to be open to new experiences. Thank you for being a God who leaves the 99 to find us. That is how important we are to you, and we love you for it. God, thank you for everything that you have blessed us with. And thank you for being a God who keeps his promises even when we don't. We love you so much. Amen.